Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avantcard. With personalised pricing, our rates are made for you.
Now, the movie Black 47 hit cinema screens this week, and it tells the story of Feeney, a soldier who returns to his native Connemara and witnesses the devastation of the famine. Family members have starved or been executed, so Feeney sets about exacting revenge. Esther will be talking about it in more detail later on. So you'd expect the actor playing Feeney would be Irish, and given it's in Connemara, have at least a couple of fuckle. But that actor, James Freshfield, is actually Australian. He's here now. Afternoon, James.
Hello, how are you?
Not too bad. How did you even get this part?
Well, I backed myself once. I went to a film festival and I grew a beard for the festival because I wanted to show greater people at large that I could grow a beard, much to the sanguine of my manager. And then, you know, years and years later, I did a film with the producer, McDara Kelleher, and I was on a shortlist for... Oh, sorry, they've moved the microphone.
That's okay.
Yeah. On a shortlist for Freddie Fox's character, Pope. Mm. And they pulled a picture up of me and they saw this red beard that I had, because that's the colour that it grows in, and they thought, oh, maybe he'd be a Feeney. And so I had a Skype with Lance Daly, the director, and at the end of the Skype meeting, he said, I think you're the guy for it. And I said, cool, I'll get to work. But that wasn't confirmation of full steam ahead. I had about 2 more months of just waiting on tenterhooks to hear if I was actually going ahead to do the part or not.
Right.
And during that time, I was learning how to ride horses, because I'd never ridden horses before. And learning how to use the kukri, which is the Nepalese sort of limb-lopping blade that I had in the film. And I just had to get to work before it was all fully confirmed and try to not leave them another option.
Right. Okay. And so had you attempted an Irish accent before?
No, or maybe for some auditions, maybe Scottish, something, you know, not entirely too sure, but I've always felt like a bit of a mimic. And I know I've got a good ear sort of for melody, even though Connemara is very staccato and sort of flat A's and things like that. But yeah, I just sort of went for it.
Yeah. But did it take a while? Because it's not just, you know, it's not just a generic Irish accent. It's a particular Irish accent. And it's people who speak another language as a first language and are speaking English as a second language.
Yeah, and that's what made Feeney a kind of interesting guy, that he would have learnt English, you know, as a soldier with all these other soldiers in the Far East fighting people. And so not to think that, I thought it was quite close for where I wanted it to be. I remember while we were shooting, Lance Daly was saying, it's coming out sounding Jamaican, you know. But with that being said, that's why Jamaican people sound the way they do, is for the Irish influence and people from the West that went over there.
Yeah.
Just that sense of staccato and, you know, a lot of it was mechanical and muscular as far as like where the tongue's placed further back at the back of the mouth. And it did, you know, it's just like a stabbing, different noises from the way that I speak or can speak after a few, you know, a few drinks. Or
did you reach a point, did you have to rehearse it much and then reach a point where you were able to say to Lance, I've got it now?
Well, I think it was just something that was sort of in a general direction, and then it just got tuned and tuned and tuned and tuned. And I had a really fantastic dialect coach called Brendan Gunn, and he gave me tongue twisters to do. So sort of like, breathe through your teeth, Keith, that's the truth.
Yeah.
Know, things like that. And, you know, like anything, if you're not prepared, you won't do a good job.
Yeah.
And there was a big responsibility for me to get all this right because of the nature of the film and what it means to people and how it's never really been addressed, you know. Yeah, it's never quite been addressed.
It's never, and it's, that's a major talking point this
weekend.
Yeah,
and no also, really, you know, what's interesting is like collective trauma through generations and things like that. Like I come from Irish on my mother's side, and I've got Scottish and Welsh and all sorts of sort of motherland, you know, Celtlandia sort of stuff in me. And, you know, it carries through, and it's just for that, it's got a big responsibility to get it right, because as a non-Irishman playing a guy from a very particular part of the country, also speaking a language that's then a particular version of the language that's not particular, you know, it's not spoken so much anymore. There was a lot of pressure to get it right.
Yeah, so learning the Irish, how did that work?
Mostly phonetically. I'm not going to pretend that I was, or that I've still got, you know, those crops sort of flourishing in my head. But I had, again, another great teacher out of a guy called Patter Cox, and it was a lot of sort of mechanically learning how to make the right sounds and then understanding grammatically what the words were, because Feeney doesn't speak very much to begin with. It's all quite selective mutism and things like that. And I just had to work work on it.
Was that difficult, though, given that you're also delivering dialogue, but you're also having to think about saying this?
Well, again, with going back to the work, it's just, well, it ceased to be weird because I did all the right prep. I felt quite satisfied with the initial objective that I had for the character and what I wanted the sort of shapes and colours to be like. And, it was immensely challenging, but I feel like I did everything that I set out to do for the character. And
yeah, your Irish is apparently getting just, 10 out of 10 from people.
Yeah, and that's nice. I mean, we don't want to get into sort of far and away territory.
Yes.
And not that I sort of came in it with any sort of want to try to like raise the bar and stuff like that, but, suspension of disbelief is an important part of seeing any film, really. And the fact that I'm not Irish means that people wouldn't recognise me maybe immediately, certainly not with a beard on like that, with the size that thing was.
That's an impressive beard.
Yeah.
It really is an impressive beard.
I really enjoyed growing it. I've never been able to before because you don't get cast as a 20-year-old if you look, walking around looking like that. But I just really went for it.
Does that mean that, you had to kind of do more acting with your eyes, really?
A little bit, yeah.
Or did you let the beard do the work?
Well, it's a tactical thing, I guess. Like, the beard did do a lot of the work because, one, it made me feel more masculine and more like someone that had been soldiering and killing people and all of that sort of stuff. And then the guilt that comes through with it, this idea that this guy maybe had a massive fight with his brother and then got on a ship to be a soldier to earn a coin for the crown and maybe send some of it back home. And then after a period of time, hear whispers about stuff that's going on, back there, and then to desert and make that choice. So Feeney's backstory was that he deserted and then got caught and then decided to desert again and didn't get caught, and we catch him at this point in the film once he's returned home to complete calamity. And it was just such hard work.
Are you still based in Australia?
I mean, to
let people know, you were in a very successful Australian TV show back when you were much younger.
No, it was a film. It wasn't a TV show.
Oh, were you not in a TV show?
No.
Okay, sorry about that. My mistake.
No, it's okay.
But you were in The Drop. You were in IT.
I was based in America for maybe about 4 or 5 years, and I've since moved to London just because I wanted to, just keep rounding out the kinks. I'm quite interested in getting back on stage, but it's a very preliminary, sort of take some baby steps to get back there. I used to do youth theatre a lot as a child, and I'd really like to revisit, getting on stage, because it's the feedback is interesting to me, where you can sort of gauge where people are at. So it's like if one night the joke doesn't work, you can change it for the next night. And the exchange is quite palpable, because when you do film acting or television acting, it's sort of, there's a bit more of a divide or a bit more of like a front that you might put up where, people are sort of projecting it onto you, or you sort of like, oh, I don't want to, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'm live, I guess. Am I live?
What's the next thing you're going to be working on, or do you know yet?
I'm kind of now wide open. I just finished a job in Brazil that was really last minute. I had a meeting on a Wednesday. Friday got the offer. Next Wednesday was off to Rio. And we just did 6-day weeks and night shoots. And it was a really nasty film about an abduction of a couple that sort of, incurred risk by getting in a van that said that the van was a taxi. And it's quite a common story in countries all over the planet, really. And it was just a deeply tragic, kind of sad film. And that's just finished, and I'm optimistic for whatever comes next, and I'm not sure what that might be.
Okay. Well, generally speaking, what are the gaps in between jobs?
Well, for me, I've only done maybe one or two jobs a year, which I'd like to do more. And that's just the way it goes. Like, you go up for stuff and you don't get it, and you have to get over it and move on and try to find the next thing. Or maybe I've had an element of being a little too picky and not engaging as much as maybe I should have, just out of want of trying to have a sort of artistic integrity, or trying to make sure that everything I'm doing is meaningful and not just sort of something that's just going to be flashy and sort of contemporary Twitter sphere kind of, nonsense. Because there's a lot of nonsense going around in the world, and I just want to make great art, I guess. And that requires you to be, unfortunately, you can't do independent films really without having a foundation of marketability.
Yeah.
Because it's show business. It's not show. So you have to be at a level where the audience knows who you are and what you're about, so that you can finance a production or help finance a production. And, yeah, I'm not too sure what's coming up next, but I'd like to do maybe something lighter and funnier.
So you're not going to be in any, like, spandex movies?
Well, I mean, you never know. We'll hope. What
well, if you were offered it, I mean, there must be a few superheroes left that they haven't made films about.
Yeah, I don't know. Ender Kelly, he's a superhero, isn't he?
No, but if there was some sort of, like, beard-based superhero, you'd you'd be a shoe-in for that, I would have thought. Yeah.
But, I don't know.
James, thanks a million for coming in to us today, and congratulations on the film. That's you can, of course, go and see James in Black 47.